Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Essex Church and to this, our gathered community of Kensington Unitarians. It's nearly Midsummer's Day, and we've just had some welcome rain, much needed by our gardens and parks. And today is the day this congregation of Kensington Unitarians holds its AGM, its annual general meeting, after the service. And later in our service today, we'll be welcoming some of our new members. So it's a busy day. But for the next hour, let's try and put our busyness on one side. As the earth needs the refreshment brought by the rains, so we need spiritual refreshment from time to time. So let's make this a time and a place where we can rest for a while and reconnect with our own sources of nourishment, letting busy bodies and busy minds take a break, allowing ourselves to go a little deeper. Gordon McKeeman writes, "We summon ourselves from the demands and delights of the daily round, from dirty dishes and unwashed floors, from unmowed grass and unsorted piles of paper, from all incompleteness and not yet startedness, from the unholy and the unresolved. We summon ourselves to attend to our vision of peace and justice, of well-being for all, of delight and devotion, of the lovely and the holy, of who we are and what we can do. We summon the power of tradition and the exhilaration of newness, the wisdom of the ages and the knowing of the very young. We summon beauty, eloquence, poetry and music to be the bearers of our dreams. Let's open our eyes, our ears, our minds, our hearts to life's possibilities, and rejoice in the holding power of love and care." May our chalice flame remind us that we are here now and of a light that shines within us. I love this story so much that I'm not going to do it any justice whatsoever. Forgive me. It's a story told of the holy fool of Sufism, Nasruddin, who was approached for assistance by the board of a large company who were working on their mission statement. "Well, what is your fundamental purpose?" asked Nasruddin. "Well, our mission," they replied, "is to create constantly increasing dividends for our shareholders," they declared. "And to what end?" asked Nasruddin. "Well, so they make increased profits, which they'll want to invest in our company," they said. "To what end?" asked Nasruddin. "Well, so they make more profits," they said, becoming somewhat irritated. "To what end?" asked Nasruddin nonchalantly. "So they reinvest and make more profits." So Nasruddin pondered this for a while, thanked them for their explanations. Then later that week, they arranged to visit Nasruddin's house to work further on their mission statement, and they found him in his garden stuffing oats into his donkey. "What are you doing?" they asked. "You're giving that poor beast so much food it'll not be able to go anywhere." "It's not meant to go anywhere," Nasruddin replied. "Its purpose is to produce manure." "To what end?" they asked. "Because without it, I cannot grow enough oats in my small allotment to feed this greedy beast." "I called this part of the service. Felt annoyed recently? Oh, good. As much of a reminder to myself as to anyone else. Nasruddin's story of feeding a donkey in order to produce manure, in order to fertilise the ground, in order to grow more oats, in order to feed the donkey, in order to produce more manure, is a useful reminder for me about all human activity, that it's worth reviewing what we're doing and why we do it from time to time. As a church, we are something other than a social club or a group of friends. A healthy church community is going to be filled with all sorts of people. One of my delights in being a church member is that I get to meet different people who are not just like me, or my friends, or my family, or my work colleagues. If we are successful in truly opening our doors to all people who feel they are in accord with our particular spiritual and social ethos, well, sooner or later, I can guarantee that someone or something is going to annoy us. And when that happens, well, let's be pleased. Let's note the moment as a sign of our success, because it means that this is a real community, not some cozy little club where we get to be friends with people who are carbon copies of ourselves. And let's remember Nasreddin's donkey and ask ourselves from time to time, to what end? What is our purpose? Would you join me now in a time of prayer and reflection? Let us pray to the God of our hearts and our understanding for this community and for all communities of the Spirit, that they and we might be true expressions of something greater than ourselves. May we be able to look beyond the superficial to something greater that calls us and that reminds us we too can be greater than we sometimes are. Let us be inspired to use the resources of this people and this church in ways that help and inspire others, and so to build a real community of the Spirit here and now. As we survey our own lives and the life of the world, at times it can be only too easy to feel despair. And yet, by accepting that and moving onwards, may we find new reserves of strength and possibility through our very vulnerability and uncertainty. Let us not strive for perfection, but rather to be real and true. And so for a few moments now, let us rest in stillness and silence, a chance to send our thoughts and prayers to the broken places, in ourselves, in those we love, and in the world around us. And may all this be so for the greater good of all concerned. Amen.
For the next few minutes, I'm going to share with you one of my future visions for our Unitarian Church community. I've noticed over the past few months some couples in the congregation holding hands during the services. And I think it's lovely and wonderful that couples feel so welcomed, relaxed, and accepted and at home here to be able to do that. What I've begun to think about, though, is the fact that these couples happen to be heterosexual couples. And I wonder, would same-sex couples or others within the LGBT community feel as comfortable or welcome to hold hands here during Sunday worship? And would we, as a congregation, feel just as comfortable having them do that also? I think that spiritual and religious diversity is represented and celebrated so well in our congregation, and it's one of the reasons why I come here. And I think that I can say the same to a degree about sexuality diversity and gender inclusivity, but I think there's still more that we can do. We've made a start in simple practical ways of having gender neutral toilets, and there are plans to display a rainbow flag on our front door and on the website. I do ponder the question about how, as a congregation, we further educate ourselves and gain a deeper understanding about these issues in order to be even more open and welcoming to those from the LGBT community and alternative lifestyles, those who wish to explore their faith and theology in community with us. From people I know and have known in the past from these communities, often their experience of a church environment is that it's somewhere that the truth of who they are is not welcomed or accepted and seen as perverse or wrong in some way. For them, trying to be part of that community has meant that they've had to hide or split off part of themselves in order to fit in. But this has just led to inner turmoil, distress, and them choosing to leave as they never felt that they really belonged. I don't think that Unitarianism is like that, especially with Unitarians the world over fighting for legislation for same-sex marriage. And in fact, our church here at Essex Church is about to become the first place of worship in the borough of Kensington and Chelsea to be able to legally perform same-sex marriages. So with all this in mind, I believe that us working even more towards being known as a spiritual community, where people don't have to hide the wholeness of who they are and the relationships which they belong to, in whatever form those loving and consensual relationships take, I really envisage this to be a worthwhile and beneficial undertaking. Thank you.
A few thoughts on Mission Possible. We're said, as you will know, we're said to be shaped by our early life experiences. And those of us who've spent our childhoods glued to TV sets and radios will forever, I think, feel a connection to programmes we enjoyed as children. Back in the 60s, there was an exciting, a very exciting TV programme called Mission Impossible, where a group of spies were given an impossible mission each week to right the wrongs committed by a group of evil people employed by the mysterious Scorpio. Deeply satisfying as a viewing experience, and I did check last night that actually episodes are available on YouTube, and I had the extreme pleasure of listening to the opening music, which goes da 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 da. I'll do the whole thing for you later. deeply satisfying as a viewing experience with, as I have already showed you, incredibly tense theme music, and the goodies always win in the end. If only real life was as straightforward. But of course, real life is messy and tends towards complexity and confusion, and all human endeavour has a tendency to fizzle out in confusion or disappear up our own proverbial backsides. And that's why we need to stop and review what we're doing from time to time and then reset the course we're travelling. Otherwise, we end up with our own version of Nasruddin busily stuffing oats into his poor donkey's mouth. Our work here at the church is carried out by four paid members of staff. Gitana, our cleaner, Jenny, our warden, Jane, our outreach officer, and me as minister, plus a host of volunteers, including our management committee and trustees, and an assortment of professionals who I wish lived here permanently, from window cleaners to roofing contractors, plumbers, and electricians. It is very easy to get lost in all this busyness. Today, we're holding this congregation's AGM. An AGM, an annual general meeting, is required of any charity as part of its transparency, and we must by law publish our annual report. Tedious though it is to compile such a report, it is essential, not just to keep the charity commissioners happy, but because it marks this pause point, a chance to review where we've been and reassess where we want to go. And now it's completed, and we have copies available for you. Don't feel you have to take it away if you don't want to, but please do if you would like one. And now it's completed, it can act as a reminder of our potential as a community of the Spirit, to consider our possible mission in the world. This report summarises our assets, not just a building in central London with a leaky roof, but not just money wisely invested and donations gratefully received, but volunteers, staff, and a willingness to reach out to the world. And it also reminds us that we here at Essex Unitarian Church are part of a national and international movement of liberal religious people. In the last year, our General Assembly of Unitarian and Free Christian Churches has been reviewing its own sense of mission and vision for its work. A group of us met up for a day last September and shared our ideas for the future. Out of that day came this booklet, A Vision for the Future, which you're welcome to borrow, and we'll make sure there's a copy soon in the library. 24 people have written about different aspects of our work as a religious organisation. And, surprise, surprise, they're just about as diverse as you'd expect a group of Unitarians to be. But there is also a cohesion to much of the imagery used. Two images stayed with me from that day of conversation. One was an image of a Unitarian community as a complex oriental carpet, as, and I'm quoting here my friend and colleague Margaret Kirk, as a reflection of the world's complexity bound together by our many different views. A second image was of our communities as a wonderfully full bowl of fruit, which, Jim, thank you very much, you washed for me earlier on, offering a spiritual feast for us all to enjoy. Both images remind me of an aspect of Unitarian communities that is the one that attracted me in the first place, and perhaps you too. I appreciated then, as I appreciate now, our absence of fixed creed or dogma. To be a Unitarian is to accept life as a glorious mystery, as a great unknown, as a personal search for meaning and purpose, and, this is the important bit I think, to support and encourage one another on this path of exploration. We reach out and invite others to join in a spiritual feast that is at its best truly diverse, and we welcome in all who wish to join in such explorations of the Spirit. On the back of your hymn sheet today, you'll find a sunflower petal. This is a work in progress. There's a statement on it for you to complete. It asks, what is your vision for our Kensington Unitarians community? Janine, I'm really grateful that you spoke so powerfully earlier on about extending our welcome to people who identify as lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgender. I was really touched by your image of couples holding hands in our service. And I'm delighted too that we'll be holding our first same-sex marriage ceremony here in August. My vision for our community would be to let the world know that we have a wonderful venue for ceremonies here, that these are ceremonies that can be conducted by any of you, and that we work with people to create unique events marking life's key moments. I also want to extend the welcome we give to families and ensure that we are as child-friendly and parent-friendly as we can possibly be. I'm delighted that we have a lovely new children's leader, Nadia, to replace Sam Boyero, who's leaving in a couple of weeks, and a lively bunch of young people downstairs. Do please have a think of your vision for this community's next steps, and don't be constrained by what seems now to be possible. Because who knows what we might be and what we might become. And that sense of possibility is reflected for me now as I read out the names of people who I think have joined our community as members over the last year. I would love the whole process of membership to be extremely straightforward. I don't know why it is so difficult, but every year I blunder with this. So this is possibly a random list of names that I've plucked out of the ether, and you can all come and tell me the truth afterwards. But I am personally welcoming today Barbara, Jonathan, Amber, Melody, Mike, Elisa, Sophie, and Sarah. Sarah, you were the doubtful one. I thought I'd welcomed you last year as well. But I bid you all a warm welcome to our community here at Essex Church. Your presence here already makes a difference, and we look forward to getting to know you and your own particular version of the Unitarian story in the years ahead. On this sheet are some words of commitment that we wrote some years ago now. I think it was for the welcoming service that we created when I joined this community. So these are 10 years old. I invite everybody who's here today who wants to join in speaking in unison these words of commitment. It is with pleasure and love that we commit ourselves to this shared ministry. With caring and open hearts, we pledge to join in making our community an inclusive and welcoming place for all people of goodwill. We shall continue to uphold our liberal religious tradition and to encourage the many spiritual seekers who meet in our church building. We trust the power of honest communication, creativity and kindness to heal and hold us always. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. As the sun spirals its longest dance, may we be refreshed. As nature shows her bounty, may we feel blessed. As light shines brightly upon us, may the light within us also shine. Amen. Amen. Go well and blessed be.